You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go to the phones. And joining us from St. Peter's Fly Shop is Thomas Worcester. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great. What a beautiful day, and we're headed for a beautiful week, it looks like, of weather. People just need to be outdoors, don't they?
I agree. It's a bluebird day, and fishing's picking up, and I'd say if you aren't inside, getting outdoors is what I'd recommend.
Yeah. Now, when you and I talked earlier in the week, and I think there's a perception because of the fire, and we've heard the Greeley Water say that the Pooter was running like coffee and that the Pooter might not be fishing very good this year, but you're saying it's really the contrary.
I'd say so, yeah. There's a lot of negative stipulation with, you know, the fires that we've had and all that stuff, and, you know, there's definitely some lasting impacts that we will see, burn scars and all that stuff. But, you know, as far as the majority of the fishing goes, it's been absolutely lights out. You know, a bunch of our guides are coming back every day and, you know, reporting great stuff. So it's really no different than any other year. And honestly, personally for me, I've been going out and it's been some of my best days on the water have been this year. You know, we're still seeing off-colored water, but the fish are still looking up, you know.
Now, the off-colored water, has it varied depending on rain or runoff and been better some days than others? Do you have to kind of pay attention or has it been fairly consistent?
It's been consistent, but rain definitely does influence that. One of the main things that we've been, you know, kind of suggesting to folks or pointing out to folks is, you know, down below the South Fork of the Pooter, there's a lot of sediment coming in from that. So if you can get above that, that's what we'd recommend just because there's a little less color. But even down below, it's been, you know, still fishing really well despite even, you know, some very stained water some days.
Now, we've got great weather coming. It's supposed to dry out now, so we're probably not going to get these afternoon storms next week as often as we have over the last week, which means we won't get that discoloration. If you were heading out this week to fish the Pooter, how would you approach it? Is there a particular hatch you're expecting, or how are you going after it?
Oh, yeah. We've got tons of bugs around right now, and this is the time of the year that I tell folks I don't travel too far because, you know, my backyard is fishing lights out. You know, what we've been seeing a lot of lately are, you know, some PMDs and sallies, so, you know, smaller stoneflies and smaller betas, as well as, you know, one of my favorite hatches, which is the green drake hatch. So we've had, you know, several of those working up the canyon towards the mid-canyon and into the upper sections. But, you know, just wanted to let people know that keeping in mind that there is still some fire closures up at the top of the canyon that's restricting access. But as of yesterday, we did get a call saying that in the next week they're thinking about lifting them. So a lot more water to be fished after that happens. But, yeah, chasing those green drakes is what I'd be doing.
Well, green drakes tend to be a bigger fly, and with my old eyes, that really helps. Another thing that helps, I've been out a few times this year, and I've noticed the dry weather has created an abundance of hoppers. Are you seeing a lot of hopper dropper action?
Yeah, midday, that's you know, where we've been pointing folks because as that sun's at its peak and it's been sweltery, you know, the smaller, more detailed bugs start to, you know, kind of tail off, you know, unless it's towards the end of the evening. But mostly midday, hopper droppers have been what we're fishing. You know, throwing them through, you know, up on the banks, but, you know, a lot of times in those pocket waters behind all the boulders, in that kind of freestone-y western rivers that we really do see on the Pooter, that's where we've been finding a lot of fish.
Do you have a favorite dropper below your hopper?
Lately, it's really anything jigged. I really suggest if folks haven't, you know, been fishing with jigged droppers for dries, that they consider it. It sets up a lot quicker just because they sink a lot faster, and you cover a lot more water as compared to just a normal beadhead nymph.
Yeah, and I love fishing that way. And any particular depth, do you try to judge the depth of the water for people who are new to fishing that technique, or do you have kind of a standard depth?
You know, when it's off the banks is where, you know, we're finding a good amount of the fish in the early mornings. You know, it's a little shorter, but as we get into the midday, getting into those pocket waters, you want to lengthen it up a little bit. So it's anywhere between 1.5 to 2 feet, sometimes even 3, depending on the pool.
Now, you also are going after the high alpine lakes a lot. How's that doing? I would think that those are pretty well opened up. We had quite a bit of snow, unlike the western side of the state, which has really struggled. This side of the mountains has done really well. How are the high alpine lakes doing, and any in particular?
I'd say, if anyone hasn't, I love, our backyard. We have, access to Walden, which is a series of mountain ranges, but you don't have to go far. Up at the top of the canyon, folks like to fish Joe Wright Reservoir for the Arctic grayling. But in that area, there's still a ton of hikes and a ton of lakes that you can access. Some restricted from the fire closures, but like I said, I think those are starting to open up here in the next week. Zimmerman is one that I'd point out that it has a really healthy population of greenback cutthroat trout, and that's really what I like chasing is cutthroat,
Well, Zimmerman Reservoir, actually, there is a video on my YouTube channel from a television show I made years ago up at Zimmerman with that hike up. It's about a 3/4 mile walk up. Everyone says it's 5 miles up and a 1/2 mile back, but it's pretty straight up. But that's a beautiful lake, and a really great chance you'll see a moose up there, too. You hardly can go up there without seeing a moose. I want to circle back to Joe Wright. If somebody's new to fishing with flies, and whether it's a fly fisherman who wants to get out in a float tube, or whether it's somebody fishing a fly in a bubble, or even just fly fishing from shore, this time of the year, Joe Wright can really... It's almost a slam dunk that you're going to catch some fish if you just make a couple of good fly selections.
Yeah, I'd say keeping it smaller just because, what's unique about Arctic grayling is, the way their mouths open. So it's a little harder for them to get bigger flies in their mouth. But, what I would say is, small little parachute atoms, terrestrials like ants and beetles, all those smaller little bugs would be a great option. And if you are going to go with the bigger bug up top, do consider a dry dropper down below.
Yeah, and it's a unique fish, and it's so much fun, and there's a lot of shore access. There isn't a lot of parking, but there's a lot of shore access. And while you're fishing, occasionally you will pick up a cutthroat there, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of fish in there that, seldom get caught because I think focus tends to lean towards the graylings being a more unique species for Colorado.
Well, we got a couple minutes left. I know there's another top-of-the-line game fish that you guys love to chase, and I'm right in line with you, and that's the common carp. And people are going to laugh, but in Europe, it's one of their top game fish. But I'll tell you what, catching carp on a fly rod, it can be phenomenal. So how's that going, and where do you normally fish for them?
We're lucky here in the northern portion of Colorado. We've got a ton of, local ponds and reservoirs around town that do hold them. And I love commons. Mirrors are very cool. And, if you're really looking for that ultimate challenge, the grass carp is another one that, you can check off your list. But as far as commons go, we even have them in, the river system as it gets lower and kind of east of town. That's a really fun way to kind of target things, whether it's waking up in early mornings and getting to the trout fishing before it gets too hot, and then making the adjustments throughout the day to, start targeting trout. But a lot of the times it's in our local ponds that you find, really, really fun fishing. And right now we're seeing a ton of tailing carp. Fish are really active, feeding, and it's a very visual experience. And, along with the heavy fight that comes with them, that visual aspect of it is really what captures me.
It really is. It's just incredible. Any flies you recommend for carp fishing?
We carry one here at the shop. It's called the Backstabber. It's nothing too crazy. It's just a nice forged bonefish hook with a little bit of marabou and, a little bit of dubbing, stuff like that, some hackle. It's really not too complicated, but, man, does it work really well.
Now, we're going to transition after I let you go into the next segment to bass fishing in the summer, and we're going to approach it from conventional gear. But a lot of the ponds around Fort Collins and up and down the Front Range are full of bass. Do you ever go chase those with a fly rod?
Oh, yeah. That's what I grew up doing. I, kind of grew up in the northern portion of Illinois, and bass are, what got me into the sport. So it's always nice to circle back around and, chase those things around town. We've got tons of different reservoirs. Pretty much every public pond you go to has bass in them. It's just a matter of, their size and their eagerness to eat.
What kind of flies do you recommend for that?
Right now, especially since we have the opportunity to, and most people think of fly fishing as, a surface water kind of experience, I like to throw poppers.
Now, with the poppers, are you able to throw those on? And a lot of times I'm fishing around here with a 3 or 4 weight rod, sometimes a 5. I've got rods all the way up to 8. Do you have to go to a little heavier rod just to push those poppers out?
I wouldn't say so. I think you can be good with a 5 weight. It's always recommended to have a 6, 7, or even 8, depending on the size of the bass that you're fishing. But, you know, it's not to say that you're limited and you can't go out and fish them if you have a 4 or 5.
Thomas, we're out of time. How do people find you at St. Pete's? Where are you located, and how do they get a hold of you?
Well, we've got 2 shops here in town. One's a little bit south of town off of 2008 East Harmony. The other shop is the Old Town Shop, which is located off of Remington Street. But we're, in the peak of season. Stop by, pick our brains. We'd love to point you in the right direction. There's no secrets here.
And a website?
StPete's.com. That's just STPete's.com.
All right, my friend. We'll have you on again soon. Thanks for all that information.
All righty, Terry. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You bet. That's Thomas from St. Peter's Fly Shop. We're going to take a time out, and the folks from Tightline Outdoors are going to join us, and we're going to talk summer bass fishing on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.